So today we wrap up our October Missions Month, and so it's my privilege to welcome our guest speaker for today. So 10 years ago, Alex and Leah, they used to be the youth ministers here at Home of Christ Church in Menlo Park. And when we first arrived, Riff and I, when we first arrived in 2017, they took us out for a meal and went to their home, played with their puppies. And at that time, Leah was pregnant. They haven't had kids yet. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship and getting to know one another. And we'll never forget that day. And 10 years after, we invite them back. They live in Oklahoma now. And Alex is still pastoring and is also working for YouVersion, which is the Bible app that a lot of you guys use. He's the head of product there. And so we're very excited to wrap up our missions month with Alex 10 years after. And let's give him a warm welcome as he shares the word of God with us.
Thank you. All right. Home of Christ family. It's been a long time in many ways, but in some ways it feels really short. I feel like nothing, there's a lot of things that are like, oh, still the Home of Christ, still the same people. I reach some recognize Uncle Gary, see you there. It's just really an honor to be back here. Thank you to Pastor Ben inviting me back out here, and it's just good to see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of faces that have grown up when I remember them like this tall, and now they're like a foot taller than me now. So I'm really glad to be here. I invited Leah and I, so we're going to start off just kind of sharing a little bit of our story. I figured it'd be kind of fun to kind of talk about where God has led us. And my family, by the way, is here as well in the front, and my brother and his wife is here too. So we'll just tell our story and then kick off. Let me say a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you that no matter where you call us, that the mission of the church, the mission of the gospel, is still to go make disciples, baptizing them in your name, God. And I thank you for the Home of Christ has faithfully proclaimed your word, faithfully baptized, faithfully continue to be a light in Menlo Park and this community. Thank you for all the familiar faces and all the new faces, God, that you're bringing in those to the mission and to this church and this community. Thank you that this still feels like home. Pray you bless our time today as we get to dive into your word and as we get to hear more about your story globally and even hearing kind of how you are continuing to work. And there's so much to do, God. And so I pray you continue to send us out, fill us up, and send us out for your name, for your glory. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, let me dive into a little bit of our story here with you guys. So what are some of the big things, hon, that's happened? Well, we have kids now, right? So that's a big thing.
I think so. I think we have kids.
I think we have. but after Home of Christ, I got called to serve at a Presbyterian church across the bridge in Fremont called Centerville Presbyterian Church. And I was a pastor of discipleship and outreach there for a few years. And there I got to, let's see if the slide clicker works. I'm going to click. Let's make sure this gets working. Perfect. So there I graduated. I was working on my Master of Divinity at that time, like taking part-time studies in the evenings. Home of Christ was very gracious to help support me in some of my early studies in seminary. And I finally got to graduate there. There's a photo of that. And then after CPC, the calling was really discernment. I remember sitting down with Leah, and it was a tough season in ministry, but just praying, saying, hey, what's next, God? What do you want to have in store? And the word bivocational just kept coming up. And I was praying, the elders at the church were praying with me, kind of discerning next steps. And bivocational was a word that actually started even here in Home of Christ in Menlo Park, because I remember preaching like many years ago, 10 plus years ago, starting here. And remembering, like, looking at all the families and the faces and the parents and be like, how do I relate more to the families here? How do I really empathize with what they're going through? And realizing, man, at some point in my life, I would like to be in some sort of bivocational role where I could experience what the grind of the Bay Area, a lot of us work in tech here, what that's like, and be able to relate. And so bivocational was a calling, and What that meant was that we had to move from Fremont to Oakland. We moved because my parents, this was my childhood home I grew up in, still own that home, and we could not go back to a small studio like we used to live in. We had two dogs, we had a kid on the way, and so we were like, there's no way we can go back to a small like studio apartment. And my parents were gracious enough to say, hey, you can come live in our Oakland home. And so that's where we moved, in Oakland.
Yeah, so when we were in Oakland, it was the first time we got to find a church community that we weren't working at. So we knew, and especially with the kid on the way, we knew that we wanted to find a place with strong community. So we found that at Movement Church in Oakland. And you guys know Oakland, it's a very transient area, so you always have people coming in and out. Not a lot of families that kind of just stay for 20-plus years, like here, you know? But it was fun. We got to meet a lot of people. And there, even though our home was a tiny 900-square-foot home, we were able to host a lot of friends, family. We did a lot of game nights. We hosted Thanksgiving dinners for, you know, people who didn't have family nearby. And so slowly we started really seeing that God had gifted both of us as a couple the gift of hospitality. And so Alex said we had our kid, and then we had a second. And so we quickly, let me share their names real quick. Xander, who is 8 now, and Sky, who is 6. And they're actually in the kids' class right now, so you guys can see them later. But so we quickly outgrew our home. And as we were looking for a new home, we wanted to make sure that ministry was still at the forefront of every decision that we made. So we knew that the home we were looking for had to have parking because, you know, if we're going to host group, church home, people have to be able to come and visit us and park and not worry about their cars. So, and if you know Oakland, if you're in the not great area, there's too many cars on the streets or it's too dangerous to park on the street. Or if you're in the nice areas, you're in the hills, so there's actually no parking in the hills. And so it was actually a lot harder than it sounds to find a home with parking. And obviously, we had to make sure that the house was big enough to host people as well. So God really blessed us with our home in Oakland that we were able to buy. And for example, we bought at the end of 2020 when the interest rates were extremely low, so it was very competitive. We were bidding for homes that had like 35 other bids and cash offers, right? So we were getting outbid every time. So the fourth home that we made a bid on, shockingly, we were only one of two bids. And we weren't even the highest bid, but the seller accepted our offer. And then contract went through, our house appraised for higher than we bought it for. Mm-hmm. So just those signs of like, man, God's goodness and his affirming of the steps that we're taking. And then, you know, we just went in open-handed, like, you know, God, this is your home. We're going to use this for your ministry. We're not just going to buy a nice big house because we want to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. We want it to be nice. And God really worked through that so much. So we had a lot of great times. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, small groups. We had worship nights. We had prayer nights. It all kind of looks the same. We had, like, tons of kids all over all the time. Like, even though we didn't really have a backyard, our house was always dirty because just kids were there. So it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of magic nights. I don't know if anyone plays magic. Can talk to Alex about it after. And we just really, like I said, open-handedly, this is not our home. This is God's home. And so to the point where we would share our key code with anyone, like, hey, if you need a place, because we all are also really located close to church. And so like I said, Oakland's a home of a lot of people just traveling in and out, far and wide. And so we had a lot of, actually, church members who would travel all the way from Vallejo or, you know, cross the bridge here just to get there. And so if they needed a place, even if we were on vacation, we'd say, go to our house, just chill. And so we would have, like, our pastor send us a photo in front of our bed while we were on vacation, just, like, eating.
Eating a sandwich.
So stuff like that. Another fun story I like to share is one of our friends. He was like our third child at the time, because we didn't, he was our third child. We only had two kids. But he would come over, like, he still does that if he was in Oklahoma, he would probably still do that. But he would just come over without telling us. And one day I was taking a nap, and I woke up and I was like, huh, it looks like someone was here. So I texted him. I was like, hey, were you at our house? He's like, you were there? He's like, oh my gosh. He was like, I was walking around farting everywhere. Like, I didn't even know. And I was like, okay, great. And that may seem reckless, especially in Oakland, but we really were just like, you know, we trusted in a bigger God. Hmm. You know, like, this is not our home. We're being good stewards. If something bad happens, like, we know God will take care of us. And so we really leaned into the giftings that God gave us.
Yeah. So just like Leah was sharing, living on mission at home. We had an opportunity to live on mission in Oakland at an early church plant. A lot of those photos you saw. What we loved about joining that church plant was that there was a huge call for discipleship. And so one of the hallmarks of that church was like one-on-one discipleship, having the whole church community involved in one-on-one type of discipleship, including, you know, obviously small groups and other discipleship as well. In addition, there was this huge emphasis on what we called selfless transparency. So from the top down, all the leadership, pastor down, just like, hey, how do we live our life more about being transparent and sharing what God's doing in our life than image protecting? And we really love that, and that's been a core value of ours that we've kept, I think, for all of our ministry. So we were at that church. It's called Movement Church in Oakland, a small church, maybe less than 100 folks, so kind of very similar to the feel of here. And I became an elder of that church as well. So that was my bivocational ministry. And at the same time, on the other hand, I was starting my tech career, kind of going from ministry to tech. And so I joined a small startup in Oakland called LocalWise. It was kind of my first tech role. It's like a small startup, less than 10 people. I think I was employee number 7. But because it was so small, I got to wear a lot of different hats and did a lot of things. So when I joined from there, I was like, what skills do I have? I don't have an engineering background. I don't have a marketing degree. I've come from ministry. I have a master of divinity. What can I bring to the table in a tech company? I said, I can talk to people. I'm used to talking to people, so I can do that. So I basically was doing a first sales role at that company. But because it was so involved in such a small company, I had to wear a lot of different hats, I would often translate stuff that our customers were telling us to the developers, to the designer, to the rest of the team, saying, hey, we need this. This product feature isn't working. This is broken. This is a pain point. This is a challenge. And starting to document all that out. And all that meant was that I realized I was doing a role, and I wanted to do this role called product management, which is basically learning to talk about the translations of what we need to actually build, put those into product requirements for our engineers and developers. And so I basically applied to a bunch of product manager roles, and it was probably over 100 applications. Probably some of you guys who are in the job field right now, who are like in your early careers, can kind of feel the pain points, because I know it's challenging right now. But I applied for hundreds of roles and got denied like all of them, except for one. It was only the one. God only needs to open one door. And so that one door was at a place called Mist Systems. They were doing some cool stuff with AI before AI was cool, before ChatGPT came out, doing stuff with machine learning. And I got an opportunity to join them. And I just got mentored and got to learn product and learn from really cool leaders and mentors in that area. And all that time, I was thinking missionally. How can I continue to bring the mission into the marketplace, right? That the marketplace can be a ministry field as well. So I remember leading prayer meetings in our startup, just rallying the community, starting sharing the gospel even in those marketplaces was really important to me. And God was good with that. God was faithful with that and led, you know, people to join and be a part of that. But all this time, I remember in ministry, in the market, there was definitely ups and downs, because even though I went through acquisitions, I went through a lot of blessings, also went through the challenges of layoffs, right? In the tech world, it's very very common that people hire fast but fire fast, and so I was part of layoffs as well and had different ups and downs and challenges through my career, but all through that time, just realizing God is faithful, and realizing God has a purpose. And so that led to last year. Last year was kind of a pivotal year. You know, the word I got moving into Oakland and moving into tech was bivocational ministry, right? And the word last year was like, how can I combine all the years of ministry I have as a pastor and serving in the church and then my background now in tech? How do I combine those two together? And so the word just kept on coming up, like ministry and tech, church and tech. And so I went to a church planning conference called Exponential. And there I met with a person named Brad Hill, who was a key leader at Glue. Glue is one of our partners now at YouVersion, and I'll talk more about that later. But Brad Hill heard my story. We met up for another Zoom call and coffee after, and then he told me, hey, Alex, based on your background, I think you would really enjoy working at YouVersion. And I said, what's YouVersion? And some of you are probably asking the same question, what's YouVersion? But if you guys have ever downloaded the Bible app on your phone, YouVersion is the team that develops and builds the Bible app. So I said, yeah, I think that would be a good fit. And so I reached out to YouVersion, and that's how kind of my journey started, going into combining ministry and tech. You want to go from there? Our move to Oklahoma, what that looked like?
Yeah, so making that decision to go was obviously not easy. We had a very strong, thriving church community. We were super plugged in. You know, being in Oakland, the schools aren't very great, and our kids actually got into one of the top schools in California, Yuming Charter School. It's a Chinese immersion school. And so we were really blessed with that. Our church also was going through a merge, where we were emerging from this 100-person church to a big 2,000 to 3,000-person church, Resonate Fremont. And so going through that transition was like a big blessing for us as well. And also Alex's parents were moving from Virginia to California. His brother just moved from California and got married, and we're like, I don't know if this makes sense, like on paper, you know? And Alex was also at the same time that he was interviewing for YouVersion, was getting into final stages of another product role that paid double of what YouVersion was offering. So we're like, does this make sense? Like, you know, are we really, we just had to really discern what God was wanting for us. And so when we were praying through it, after they had given us the offer, Alex was pretty hesitant. Well, he was like, I want to see everything laid out so that I can make an informed decision. That's how his brain works. For me, I was like, it doesn't matter if it's laid out. It's clear that God wants us in Oklahoma. In Alex's product experience, he's always been B2B, business to business, and he's always wanted to go B2C because he has huge empathy, knows how to understand the users. He's like, I want to go on that side. But for some reason, every time he tried to go over, the doors never opened, and he always just ended up with the B2B role. And that was one thing at YouVersion. They already had a B2C head of product, but they needed a B2B head of product. And so it was kind of like God saying, hey, Alex, I know this is what you want, but I have a better plan for you. Just stick with it. You know, I have a door that's opening for you. Mm-hmm. And so that was one thing where we were like, like that's God paving the stepping stone for us. Before he actually interviewed at YouVersion or heard about it, we visited our friends who were living in California here with us, but they're originally from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And we went to go visit them in a cute little town called Edmond. And we were like, oh, this is fun. It's Oklahoma. You know, it's not that exciting. And then when we came back, Alex is like, oh, I'm interviewing at YouVersion, and they're based in Oklahoma. And I was like, where? He's like, in Edmond. And we were like, what? So that was another thing of like, maybe this is God's provision of like, it's not just in Oklahoma where you can kind of imagine what it looks like and look on YouTube, you know, but it's you've been there and you can get a taste of what it actually looks like. Mm-hmm. Also, transition. So I don't know if you guys know, YouVersion is actually tied to Life Church. And Life Church is right now the largest church in America with over 100,000 plus members. And I still don't know if we believe in big mega church, especially because we're used to small church. Can you imagine coming from a 100-person church to 100,000 plus?
That's a big jump. Huge.
Yeah. And so, even just seeing how God took us through the merge with Resonate First and going through those pains and being like, hey, I got you through that. Now watch me get you through this, you know? And we're like, man, God is just really setting us up for success. Like, he's taking care of us in ways that we don't even see. So we're just really blessed with that. And also because we were able to experience such authentic and deep community, we were like, let's bring that to Life Church, where the hard part about megachurch that we have with is discipleship, right, can mm-hmm. easily get lost. Mm-hmm. And we're like, how do you do that in a church that's so big? Mm-hmm. But God's like, I already let you experience that. Now you bring it. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for other people. You bring it and you guys do it. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, let's use our superpower of hospitality and deep, authentic community, and let's bring that over to Life Church. And the cherry on top.
You want me to tell that?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so you go to the next slide. So when I've been applying at YouVersion, it's funny. So even before I got the job, Leah was like, I want to check out some homes. I want to know if I can bring my family to the middle of America and really feel like this can be home for us. And so it made sense. So we checked out some homes, and one of the first homes we saw was this one, right? Was it the first home we saw? And we're like, this home is someone we could see ourselves raising our kids in. But the sad thing is our realtor, after we did the tour, said, I'm so sorry, Alex and Leah, that home's pending. It's actually under contract. We can't make a bid for it. We at the time were not even ready because we hadn't even said yes yet to moving to Oklahoma. I hadn't said yes yet. I hadn't even got the offer yet. We were just thinking about if this is possibly where God wants us to be. But fast forward 30 days later, basically, and at that time, I went through the interviews, we had prayed through it, and we decided, yes, God was calling us to YouVersion to move to Oklahoma. And so at this time, we were like, okay, now we really need to start looking for a home, because we made the decision, we are moving, we are headed to Oklahoma, and we had actually put an offer on a different home, sight unseen, as in, like, we had done a virtual tour, we said, like, okay, I think the check mark's what we want, hadn't even seen it in person yet. But we made an offer on that, and then we went through inspection time and realized, man, there were so many issues with the home that we didn't know. Like there was asbestos, which you guys know is not good, in the duct air ducts, and there was a lot of issues with the home. They're like, oh man, just to repair the house would cost more per square foot than we really were willing to go. So we were really sad and bummed. And so our realtor was like, hey, let me just open up your search portal again and to see if there's any homes that pop open. And that same day that he opened that search, this home popped open again. And the funny thing is that when we had first kind of not got this home, I had said a prayer to Leah, like, I don't know, who knows? God's sense of humor, maybe we'll still get this home, even though it's pending. Who knows? God can do the impossible, right?
He's being nice. He was actually really upset.
I was really upset. I was like, I felt like this was the one.
He was like, God, if this is, you know, if this is going to be our home, you will make a way. He was like kind of upset about it.
And then this home popped open again. And we asked a realtor, wait, what's going on? We thought it was closed, under contract, it was done. And they said last minute, the buyers decided not to move forward. And again, this is one of the signs that we got, was like, God didn't have to do this, but the fact that he did was another way of God showing us how sweet he is, that he cared where our hearts were. And he was like, again, another sign saying, this is where I want you to be. And so that's where we now live with our two dogs, our Shebas, and our kids in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and we have no idea how God's going to work through us here. I mean, we have an idea, but we're just excited to see what he's going to do. Even how we're planning out the house, we're still trying to be very missional-minded. For example, where do we put our TV? Something so simple, right? But we're like, okay, if we're going to host people over and we're going to have a lot of people, we have to put it in a place where it makes sense, right? Not just for us as a family, mm-hmm. but like for community. And so small decisions like that, like how do we live missionally in those moments?
Yeah. All right. I think that's the wrap of our story. So thanks, hon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So what's next? So now I just wanted to dive in a little bit into YouVersion. I think for those of you that don't know, how many of you guys have heard of YouVersion? Okay, most hands, all right. And most of you guys have the Bible app, right? Right, hands raised if you have the Bible app on your phone. Okay, good. So the story of YouVersion. YouVersion started about 18 years ago when the Bible app first launched. And a lot of funny things with the story of YouVersion that I've learned now being a part of the team is initially YouVersion and the Bible app, or YouVersion was not a success because originally, they put the Bible onto a desktop on a website, and there was no traction. There was no one really using it. It didn't take off. So they were actually thinking of close YouVersion completely because it was like it wasn't doing what they imagined it to do, and the resources investment wasn't making sense. And then in 2008, there was a person on the YouVersion team. He was telling, you know, the rest of the team, hey, the App Store is about to launch. I think the Bible should be on the App Store. And all this time, the founder, Bobby, had been traveling around the world, doing a lot of different things. And he always forgot his Bible or didn't have a digital Bible with him. So he's always, oh, yeah, having something on a mobile app would make so much sense. Why don't we have something like that? And so the team scrambled together and built the first app, and it went into the first launch of the App Store. And the Bible app was one of the first apps available. And that's really the story of how YouVersion took off, being one of the first Bible apps on the App Store. And since that time, YouVersion has launched other apps. So we have actually called it a family of apps. So we have Bible app for kids. We have Bible app Lite, which most of you probably would not see unless you're international around the world. But it's more streamlined for like the global south and in Asia and other places. And in 2023, they celebrated 15 years of the Bible app. And fast forward to today, we're about to reach 1 billion installs of the Bible app. And so that's really exciting for us to celebrate almost 1 billion. I learned that I think it's like 0.05 or maybe less percent of apps ever reach 1 billion downloads. And so that's quite an accomplishment. But when we think of it from the YouVersion perspective, we're not thinking about, oh man, this is so great, YouVersion is so great. But no, really, it's a story of what God is doing. The fact that there's a billion people that have downloaded the Bible and are reading their Bible on a daily basis is what excites us. But strategically, 3 years ago at YouVersion, it's funny because the team was less than 50 people for a long time. But about almost 4 years ago, there was a decision by the leadership team saying, man, in the 15 plus years it's taken us to almost reach 1 billion, there's been more than 1 billion people born. And so they're like, if we want to continue to even reach the birth rate, if we want to continue to even reach the world with the Bible and the gospel, something has to change. And so they were strategic to say, hey, we need to put more resourcing and expand the team to think globally. How do we continue to bring the Bible to parts of the world that don't have it? And so I'm part of that initiative. I'm a part of that, of hiring and thinking bigger, like how do we continue to expand and grow the story? So I want to share a picture with you, again, give you an idea, a snapshot of what the impact that YouVersion is having across the world. And I want to share with you the story of Joshua. So if you can look here and you can dim the lights for this video, that'd be awesome. Did that video play? See if it downloaded. If not, it's okay. While he's loading that up, I'll share a quick story. So the video I was going to share with you, Joshua, is a story of a kid who was born blind. And he never has experienced what the Bible could do because he's never had the opportunity to kind of hear it for himself. And so we actually built Bible Kids where it's an audio in Spanish and in his local heart language that he's able to listen to. So this is his story here.
Ahorita en tercero de primaria y en la escuela nos decían, es que ya no podemos, no sabemos cómo tratarlo porque él se desespera, él no podemos, pues enseñarle. Sí, nos dimos cuenta que el app de la Biblia para niños era una herramienta fenomenal porque él podía simplemente escuchar. Thank you.
Entonces sí, hubo un cambio muy radical en él, demasiado, demasiado rápido.
Y sí, fue para él o para nosotros de gran bendición el que él empezara a desenvolverse, a integrarse. Y de ahí empieza ya continuamente ya lo que es el aprenderse, ¿no? Lo que son más, ¿cómo les digo? Concientizarse más lo que es la palabra de Dios.
Y le gusta la palabra de Dios. Entonces, de cuando ya como yo voy a empezar a ganar la iglesia.
Transformación total. Él es un niño muy diferente al niño que llegó en este verano pasado. Ahora es un niño muy involucrado, es completamente participativo, siempre expresa su testimonio de gratitud, agradeciendo a Dios por su familia.
So I share that story as a story, as a reminder. Our church has a saying that as a large church, we're a church that is big enough to reach the world, but small enough to reach the one. And when I think of the story of Joshua, and I think the story of YouVersion, it's not just the number of people transformed, the billion people, but it's the billion ones. It's for that one person. It's for that story of Joshua. Is for that other one person who has not yet heard the gospel, and finally they get to hear it for the first time or see it for the first time or experience the love of God, and their life is transformed. And so that's the mission. That's what we do at YouVersion. And so I don't know if the slides are back up, but this is kind of like where we are in our direction, but we're about to hit 1 billion downloads in November. I think we just are about crossing that landmark right now. And our goal is for the next few years, how do we think about not just the first billion ones, but the 2, 3, 4, 5 billion that are out there who have not yet heard the gospel, who have not yet seen the gospel in their heart language or read the gospel in their heart language. And that's what kind of drives us to go further, to go faster. And that's our mission. Let me go into a little bit now into the word. I want us to pull away from just the story of YouVersion, but just the story of the gospel. What is the gospel telling us? And so if you want, you can open your Bibles to Romans 10. This will be our main passage for today. I have it on the screen as well, if that's helpful. But we're going to be in Romans 10, verse 8 to 12 in the NIV translation. So let's all stand up. Is that okay? Can we stand up as we read God's word together? Romans 10, 8 to 12. I'll read it slowly and you can read it with me, starting in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Stay standing. We're going to read this last three verses. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May God bless the reading of his word. Thanks. You can sit down. When I think of Romans 10, I think about the calling that God has in our lives. And one thing I've learned through seminary, one thing I've learned through Pastor Elder Luke. I know he comes, he still attends here. I know Minister Jackie's on sabbatical right now. One thing I've learned from Pastor Luke is whenever the Bible has repeated things multiple times, it's good for us to remember, and like that stands out. Why does the Bible repeat things multiple times? It's usually the emphasis. They want us to remember those words. Those are key words for us to kind of dig into. And so some of the passage in Romans 10, two of those key words is mouth and heart. You see that repeated a lot, right? With our mouths and with our heart. And so I wanted to dive into a little bit, what does that mean, right? The context of our mouth and the context of our heart. So the mouth is, you know, one thing that's interesting is our ability to speak, right? That's kind of describing how our speech. But it's also something more is that the mouth often talks about it's a doorway, it's a reflection of our inner character, of our heart. It reveals who we are, right? The things that come out of our mouths. So in some ways, you can say it's a window to our soul. Like Luke 6:45 says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks," right? And then the heart. The heart is the inner peace. And in the Bible, when it says the heart, I think something very key for us to remember, the heart isn't just a source of feeling or how we feel. When the Bible talks about the heart, it really is talking about all of the things that encompass that. So it's our belief, it's our worldview, it's our system, it's basically the core of who we are. That is the heart. It's interesting, heart appears over, I think, 150 times, maybe 158 times in Greek, spanning across the New Testament. You see it a lot in Acts, you see it a lot in the Gospels, you see it in Romans as well. And basically the heart is really the inner life, okay? It's not just a feeling. It's really like the whole thing. It's your intellect, your emotion, your consciousness, your will. And so when we say the heart, it's really the center of who you are. And so when it says God searches our heart, it is really the gospel, right, that renews our heart, the spirit that indwells in it, and the believer is called to guard it as Christ sanctifies it. And so the heart is the central core of who we are. So we have the mouth and we have the heart. And from there, we learn that the heart and the mouth really come up with what we say is salvation, right? When there's that confession, when your heart is moved to believe and your mouth confesses, there's both the inner and outer confession of saying, I put my faith in Jesus. There is an outward declaration. There is an inward belief. And that is what leads to salvation. So it's heart, your mouth, the call, the confession that leads to salvation. And ultimately, that is good news. That is what the ending of that description, how beautiful it is, right, for those who bring the gospel, right? And so I want to dive into that. I think that is actually the heart of what I want to focus on in this message, is this part. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I think another thing that's important to stop and remember here, when we see this phrase, this is actually a phrase where Paul is quoting back in Isaiah. So in Isaiah 52:7, he is talking about an Old Testament prophecy, a pretty famous Old Testament prophecy. And so at that time, Isaiah was writing to the exiles, the people of Israel, but living in Babylon. So you got to put yourself for a moment with the Israelites. Jerusalem was in ruins. They were in exile. Basically, Israel's hope seemed dead. Their nation was crushed under the rule of Babylon. And in this image, what we see in Isaiah is basically a messenger running towards Zion and saying, Babylon has fallen. God has acted. The Lord is returning to reign. This is good news. And so what I think is helpful for us to see is this imagery, this reminder is really the idea of this messenger. We don't really have this anymore because in the day of digital, in the day of text messages in a second or a phone call away, we don't really have the need for messengers. But back then, there was a need for, if there was good news, if there was good news to be spread, messengers would be sent out all across the land to spread the good news. And that is what Paul is referring to. That is the analogy he wants us to understand, that there is a proclamation. And these messengers would run miles and miles across barren land, across hills and mountains or deserts if need be, to spread the good news. And you can imagine, by the time that messenger arrived in the town to tell the town of the good news, what do you think that messenger looked like? Do you think he was pristine and beautiful clothing and a suit and tie? No, he was dirty, dusty. His feet were probably stinky, like he had been running, right? And so this image is how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's really a symbol of the purpose of when we hear that good news. Man, how sweet it is to know that there is good news that is coming to this town, that they realize there is hope. And so when I think of that beautiful, and I look into that original word too in the Greek, what I see in beautiful is interesting. It's not just a description of aesthetically something beautiful, but beautiful as in like it was came at the right time. So when you share the gospel, it is beautiful, but it's also the beauty of sharing it right in the right moment, that someone needed to hear the gospel in that moment. That's what makes it beautiful. So it's both the timing and the message of what it is that makes it beautiful. And finally, we hear good news, right? We have feet, we have beautiful, we have good news. Good news is describing the gospel, right? Where for Isaiah, he was sharing the good news of, well, they're returning from exile. That is good news. But we have something that is infinitely more beautiful, which is the gospel of Jesus who is returned, who is coming to reign, who has conquered sin and death. That is the good news that we have to share today. So this is where I kind of want to close, start wrapping up. And the title of the sermon was Living Sent. How can we live sent? Home of Christ, church family. I want you to realize that you are all messengers of the good news, just like what I described. You are called to send and proclaim the good news wherever God is calling, because every person, just everyone, just like the story of Joshua we saw in that video, everyone deserves a chance to hear the gospel in their heart language, to experience the gospel for the first time. And so God is calling you wherever you are, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your marketplace, in your work, to be a missionary. You are called to be sent to your places to share the gospel. We all have the commission, right? Matthew 28:19-20, right? That we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's for all of us. All of us who have ever heard and received the gospel, that's for all of us to continue to carry that out. And so I want you to remind you of something we said frequently in seminary, and I want to tell you the same words, that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. All right, and so all of you are called because all of you have heard the gospel message, and now it is your opportunity to go and share, and God will equip you for that. He's equipping you wherever you are to share the gospel. And so I want you to know that you are sent. You are called to live sent. And that means in your home, just like how Leah and I were sharing a story of how we try to live with a very missional mindset with our home. He's calling you to serve other people with your hands, the way that you go and give of your time, give of your resource. And it can be tiny things of teaching in Sunday school. It can be tiny moments of going and saying a kind word to your neighbor and checking in on them. And most of all, God wants to see our heart. Our heart is dedicated to praying for, witnessing, and encouraging others, right? That is our call of living sent. There is an image at YouVersion. We're really good about plastering kind of what we call our axioms or core values all across our building. And this is one of the core values that really stands out to me personally. And it says, we will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. I'm going to say that again. We will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. And I don't know if you can see the little bit on the bottom, but it says, to reach people no one is reaching, we have to do things no one is doing. To reach people no one is reaching, we'll have to do things that no one is doing. And that really is a core missional heart of Life Church and YouVersion. It's how do we continue to reach people for Christ? It's kind of mind-blowing to me. We're in the middle of Oklahoma, and every week, literally every week in services across our church, whenever there's a call to accept the Lord, a call to salvation, there are hands raised. There are hands raised all the time. I want to share this in a way to encourage you because God is doing something. There's been studies on Gallup and across the churches right now that people are hungering for the gospel in this generation right now more than ever before. So this generation coming up, the Gen Z, Gen A, they are hungering more for the gospel than any other generation. So there's an opportunity here for us to witness to hearts that are really hungering to hear the word of God more than ever before. And it's not just the U.S., it's across the world we're seeing this trend. People are hungering for God's word more than ever before. And so I want you to know, I want you to realize that you are part of that calling, that God wants you to be his hands and feet in sharing the gospel. There's a last thought I had. I was reading through kind of one of our partners, Lectio Divina. They have an app, and I was reading through their devotional this week. And in it, Eugene Peterson is the author and pastor who translated the Message translation. He said this, and I thought this would be really a way for us to kind of, as a reflection before you leave, just think about these words. So Eugene Peterson said, "Stories invite us into a world larger than ourselves, and the Bible is our greatest story. If we just live within ourselves, or if our lives are determined by our own needs, our own wants, or our own desires, it's a very small world." And so my challenge, my final thought I want to leave with you is, has your world become small? Have you lost the wonder of the gospel? My hope and my prayer is that we realize we don't live our life for ourselves. God is calling us to something greater, where God is the main character. He is the one that we are supposed to proclaim his story. And when we do that, we realize our world isn't as small as it once seemed. So don't lose the wonder. Don't let the world become too small and safe. Step into the calling that God has for you. Let your prayers, your works, your relationships, everything, your whole life be a part of what God is calling you to be living sent. Because when you live in God's story, when you find that everything is tied back to him and his mission, you will see the world is far larger, far more beautiful than you can imagine. And that's been true in my life. As I think about the story of my life and where God has led us, I sometimes just stop and be like, I can't believe we are now smack dab in the middle of Oklahoma, somewhere I never imagined our family to be called, but we are called there for a mission, the mission of bringing God's word to everyone, everywhere, every day. This is a cool visual. You can, if you want, you can pull up your phones if you want to scan the QR code, but this visual is live right now. Every single person in the world that is opening the Bible app, that is the impact of the Bible across the world. And so my ask, my calling to you guys is this. It is all of our missions, not just YouVersion, not just my mission. It is all of our mission to bring God's word to everyone, everywhere, every day. Would you bow your heads as I pray? God, would you just remind us that the mission of the gospel is something that is way bigger than any of us could accomplish on our own. But the amazing thing is that we are part of the capital C church. We are called to be a church that goes to reach the world, but we are small enough to reach the one. And so we don't think of the huge numbers, they're too overwhelming to think of a billion people. But when we think of a billion ones, when we think of each one that represents that number, God, it is a story of you working through someone to share the gospel. It is a story of living sent, God. And so I pray for our church, praying for the Home of Christ Church family, that we would be living sent. That you would remind us that it is going above and beyond our own wants, our own desires, our own needs. But that, God, you have a greater purpose. And when we submit and when we remember that you are the main character, God, then you open our eyes and you open our hearts to do things that no one else is doing. That we reach people that no one else is reaching. Because that's the power of the gospel. It is the power to transform lives, God. And so I thank you, God, that every single person here today, I know, is a life transformist. You have touched their heart in some way. And now, Lord, I pray that you will now send them out, that they will live sent. They will live as missionaries. They will live to share the gospel with their friend, with their family, with their neighbors, with their coworkers, and that by submitting to you, they would see their life transformed, and they would see lives around them being transformed for the gospel and for your kingdom. We praise you, God. We thank you for your work. And we pray you will continue to send us out. In Jesus' name, amen.